Chapter 15. Exposed in the midst of the foe. An ill-matched war. Flight. I had a second to realize that wherever Beckwin had gone, it had left us exposed, outside the veil of her untouchable aura. I heard a cry, a strangled warning from the old ecclesiarch that was immediately accompanied by the hoot of sirens. In the landing yard, guards were racing towards us. Datso was pointing directly at the section of ruin that concealed us. Locke pulled a las pistol from his robe. Angry voices, the raucous bark of cygnids. "Fischig," I cried. "Fischig, move or we're dead!" He blinked, still pale, as if he didn't recognize his own name. I slapped him hard around the side of his head. "Move, Chastener!" I yelled. The first of the guards had reached the ruins, and one was kicking his way in through a boarded-up door. I saw his staring face looking out of a dirty black visor. He raised his lasgun. I swung the powerful carbine up and laced him and the doorway with a spray of laser shots. Stone and wood debris spat and flew from the multiple impacts. Las shots whined in through gaps in the stonework and exploded against the outside wall. Fischig's heavy stubber chattered into life. He played the sweep of blazing tracer shots down the dark cavities of the ruin to our left, tearing apart two more guards who were forcing their way in. More guards to my right fired their weapons. My las carbine crackled on full auto, a blur of high-pitched whines, as I raked the narrow entrance and dropped another three. Still firing, Fischig backed into the depths of the ruin. "Come on!" he snarled. I backed with him, our weapons laying down a storm of explosive metal and piercing energy that rippled across the ruin walls, scattering debris, spraying ash dust and bursting bodies. Reiser, his mind utterly gone with terror, lay on the ground. I grabbed him by the scruff of his rags and dragged him after us. He fought at me, despairing. A large figure came leaping in through the window space in the wall, through which we had observed the dealings in the yard. It was Locke. He rolled as he landed, his las pistol retching shots. One shot clipped my left shoulder, another three slammed into Reiser's back, and he toppled into me, knocking me flat. Fischig saw Locke and swung round, his finger not lifting from the stubber's blunt trigger. The rapidly cycling mechanism of the heavy weapon made a high, grinding metallic noise, overlaid with the frenetic blasts of the shots. The scant cover around Locke disintegrated, and he cried out as he threw himself behind a section of wall. He fired as he moved, and Fischig grunted in pain as a last shot punched into his side.
"Eisenhorn, you bastard!" Locke bellowed.
I pulled myself out from under Reiser's corpse, sad that the ragged slave had paid such a price for assisting an inquisitor. Another crime on the shoulders of Gorgon Locke. Damning the shipmaster's name, I pulled a frag grenade from my pack and tossed it in Locke's direction. Then Fischig and I moved as fast as we could out through the rear of the smoke-filled ruin. The grenade blew out the back of the structure. I hoped to the Emperor it had torn Locke limb from limb. Coughing and spitting, Fischig and I came out into a ditch that ran behind the ruined dwellings of North Quam and the newer modular buildings. Angled over us were the large flak-bored baffles of the ash screens. Las shots chipped and whacked into the screens and wailed down the dim ditch. Guards tumbled into the ditch 20 meters away, rabidly howling cygnids pouring in with them. Fischig made the ditch his killing field and emptied his second drum of ammunition down the length, pulverizing guard and canine alike. We hurried in the opposite direction as he struggled to clamp in a fresh drum. Guards were shooting at us through the ruins, blowing chunks from the mouldering stonework. We ran on, chased by the furious salvos. The ditch ran out into a small yard where an 8-wheeler truck was parked. We exchanged shots with 3 guards who rounded the corner into the yard and dropped them, but a 4th appeared, loosing a trio of cygnids from their leashes. Baying, they pounded across the yard. I killed one with my carbine, but the truck blocked any shots at the others. The big vehicle rocked as one leapt up onto its frame. A moment later, it was leaping over onto us. I put a las round through its skull as it came down, its muscled bulk just missing me. The other came out from under the truck, filthy with axle grease, and leapt at Fischig. It knocked him over, its huge jaws locked around his armored forearm. I drew my power sword and thrust the crackling blade through its body. More shots thumping into the truck. "Get up," I told Fischig, as we rolled the canine's dead weight off him. The entire compound closing around us, we sprinted to the rear of a modular shed and broke the door in. It was an equipment store, stacked with spare blades for rock drills, spools of cable, lamp cells, and all manner of other mining equipment. We moved low between the piles of equipment, hearing shouts and running footsteps outside. I paused, changing cells in my carbine, and keyed my Voxlink.
Thorn wishes Aegis, rapturous beasts below.
Aegis arising, the colors of space,
came the response immediately.
Razor Dolphus pathway, I instructed. Pattern ivory.
Pattern confirmed. In six, Aegis arising.
Guards burst into the back of the shed, and Fischig blew them back out through the prefab wall with a wild burst of shots. I looked around and saw a stack of black metal boxes raised on a pallet in the corner of the shed. The paper labels were old and faded, but I prized off the lid of one box and confirmed their contents.
Get ready to move, I said, arming my second grenade.
Oh, shit,
said Fischig, seeing what I was doing. He was already half out the door as I placed the grenade on top of the boxes. We came out firing, met by a dozen or more guards who were sectioning the street looking for us. Most were pit guards in their black, ugly armor, but three were naval security troops in black cloth fatigues, no doubt part of the traitor captain's contingent. We fired as we ran. The grenade was on a 10-second fuse. The fact that we ran through the midst of them caught them unawares. None of them was able to get a clean shot off. Fischig and I dived headlong over a crumbling section of wall that had once surrounded North Quam's market yard. The grenade went off, and so did the stack of mining explosives it had been sitting on. The shockwave concussion flattened every wall for 30 meters. The upwards force of the blast, driving before it a blistering fireball, lifted the whole modular shed 20 meters into the air and sent the shredded remains of the structure crashing down onto neighboring buildings. Scraps of metal, cinders, and shreds of burning flakboard rained down on Fischig and myself. There was a dazed silence broken only by the warble of alarms, cries of the injured, and desperate shouting. The air was fogged by ash dust. Pulling on our rebreathers, we stumbled through the murk. I felt a jab of pain in my head. Deep, insidious burning. Datso was reaching out with his terrifyingly potent mind, looking for us. We stumbled through the smoke down an aisle between modular sheds whose windows had been blown out in the detonation. The pain grew more intense.
Eisenhorn, you cannot hide. Show yourself.
I gasped as the pain took deeper hold. Suddenly, it eased.
Fischig, in here!
I pushed him into an old stone outbuilding. I guessed it had once been a washhouse in North Quam's more rural heyday. Beckwin was cowering in a corner, filthy, tearful. The sight of the child of the Emperor Mandragore had sent her fleeing in blind panic. Like me, she had made the mistake of looking at the runes and marks on his foul, dazzling armor. Unlike me, she hadn't had the sense to look away. She couldn't speak. She barely registered us. But we were back inside her muzzling aura and out of Datso's clutches for the moment.
What now? Asked Fischig. They'll regroup quickly enough.
Midas is coming. We have to get back to the landing yard. It's the only area big enough for him to set down in. Fischig looked at me as if I was mad.
He's going to fly into this. He'll be killed. And even if he does pick us up, they'll launch interceptors from the fleet. They'll launch them the moment he powers up for takeoff.
It'll be tight, I admitted. We dragged Beckwin with us and moved out of the derelict washhouse. Outside, the settlement was still swathed in ash lifted by the blast. Fierce fires glowed in the smoke. Voices screamed orders and signets bayed. There was a deeper, furious bellowing, too. I had a nasty feeling it was the Chaos Marine.
Thorn attending Aegis, main yard area,
I voxed.
Aegis, main yard in three. The heavens falling.
So, they were onto him. The fleet had launched ships after the cutter. We ran now. The smoke was slowly clearing. A guard gang moved past us, and we were forced to double back around. More guards blocked the next street.
Through the buildings, said Fischig.
We were behind a modular building, one of the newest and largest that Datso's unholy mission had set up. There was no door, but we scrambled up onto the low roof, pulling Beckwin with us, and entered through a skylight. The room we dropped into was carpeted and well-furnished, an office or private study for one of the senior supervisors. There were racks of data slates and piles of charts and storage tiles. Several large travel trunks had been piled in one corner, with a cloak and two overcoats draped over them. One of the new arrivals from the launch had left these things here and not yet unpacked them.
Come on,
hissed Fischig, checking the door that led out of the office into the rest of the building.
Wait,
I said. I cut the locks off the trunks with my power sword and threw the lids back. In the first, clothes, slates, a boxed lasgun, ornate and inlaid with the name Oberon. Other miscellaneous effects.
Come on, Fischig repeated, frantic.
Aegis, main yard in two,
crackled the vox.
Eisenhorn, what are you playing at? Fischig demanded.
These are Glaw's things, I said, searching.
So what? What are you looking for?
I don't know. I turned to the second trunk. More clothes, some crude and unpleasant religious icons. Fischig grabbed me by the shoulder.
With respect, Inquisitor, that would suggest this isn't the time to be doing it.
We have to get out of here. We have to get the hell out of here,
Beckwin murmured, her eyes darting back and forth at every sound from outside.
There'll be something, an edge, a clue, something we can use when we get out of here. We'll be lucky to escape with our lives.
Yes, I stared up at him. Yes, we will. And if we do, we'll want to continue our struggle against Glaw, won't we? He threw his hands up in despair.
Please, please,
Beckwin murmured.
Aegis, main yard, in one,
crackled the vox. The third trunk, a wrapped set of stainless steel surgical tools whose purpose I didn't even want to imagine. A small dice and counter game in a hardwood box. Clothes. More damn clothes. With something solid wrapped in them. I took it out.
Satisfied?
Asked Fischig. I would have smiled if Locke had left me able.
Go,
I said. Beyond the stateroom was an outer annex. More luggage trunks stood on the grilled floor, as well as wooden boxes draped in plastic.
Don't even think about it,
Fischig snapped, seeing me look at the trunks.
Aegis, on sight!
The vox burst was partly drowned out by the vibrating roar of a powerful aircraft passing low and fast overhead. There was a chatter of small arms, the whip of las rifles. I led the way out of the annex, through a hatchway that opened onto the landing yard. Figures milled around, mainly slave guards and naval troopers, looking skywards and firing at the looming gun cutter that banked overhead. On the far side of the yard, by the lowered ramp of the Navy launch, Malahite saw us and shouted out. The men swung around, firing. Shots crackled around us. Then I saw Mandragore, over to the right of the yard, charging towards us with a baleful howl.
Back inside! Inside!
I yelled, and the three of us tumbled back in through the door. The outer wall of the building didn't stop the chaos beast. Neither did the hatch. Ceramite and steel-shod fists tore the lightweight metal apart, twisted adamite support beams, punctured plastic panels like paper. Mandragore's baying wail preceded him, shaking us to the core. Beckwin screamed. The vilely misnamed Child of the Emperor exploded through the end wall of the annex, white lips drawn back around pearl teeth as he hurled out noise from his augmented torso. The bolt gun in his fist was enormous.
Not a step closer,
I yelled. With one hand, I held the primed grenade up so he could see it. He laughed, a deep, booming chuckle of contempt.
I mean it,
I added, and kicked the crate at my feet. It was laden with plastic-wrapped tablets from the mine.
1 second fuse, another step, and all this will be gone.
He faltered. Lord Glaw and several guards appeared through the shredded wall behind him.
For pity's sake, do as he says,
Glaw barked. With a growl, Mandragore lowered his bolt gun.
Back off, Glaw. Back right off and take them with you. You can't hope to escape, Inquisitor,
said Glaw.
Back off.
Glaw waved his men back and retreated. Mandragore backed out slowly, a growling hiss rising from his throat.
Grab the crate,
I told Fischig. He slung his stubber over his shoulder and did as he was told. We edged out into the smoky daylight. Fischig and I were side by side, and I held the grenade over the crate he was carrying. Beckwin cowered behind us. In the yard, Glaw was ordering his men back. There were 40 or more troops, guards, naval troopers, supervisors. I saw Datso, Malahite, and the rogue Captain Estrom among them. Mandragore did not back off as far as the others. He stayed to the right of us, his shimmering cloak drifting in the breeze, his armor gleaming. The growl continued to purr in his throat.
Midas,
I said into my link. Set down. Hatch open.
Understood, he replied. Be advised there are 3 Navy interceptors inbound. Arrival in 3.
The gun cutter swung in over the yard, casting a wide shadow, its thrusters lifting clouds of ash. As it came into rest on its bulky hydraulic landing skids, the cargo ramp under the cockpit whined and lowered. Slowly we moved around until the cutter and the ramp were behind us. The assembled enemy watched us intently, weapons raised.
A standoff, Inquisitor, said Glaw.
Get your men to lower their weapons, even the ones I can't see. Don't even consider dropping me. Midas,
Train the wing cannons on myself and the chastener. If anything happens to us, open fire.
Confirm.
The powerful cannons in the wing mounts traverse to target us.
Shoot us, and the crate is vaporized.
Weapons down,
Glor yelled, and the troops obeyed.
Now call off those interceptors. Order them right back to their carrier.
Now!
Glor looked round at Estrom, who started to speak into a voxlink.
The interceptors have aborted their run, Midas told me. They're turning back.
Very good, I told Glor.
What now?
He asked. What now, indeed?
We had the upper hand for a moment. They didn't dare shoot or rush us, and Beckwin was blocking Datso and any other psyker they had.
An answer or two, I suggested.
Eisenhorn,
Fischig hissed.
An answer, laughed Glor.
Some of his men laughed too, and Mandragore rumbled a snigger. I noticed Datso and Malahite were both unamused.
This material is Archaeoxenon, from an old Ceruthi site, I said, lifting one of the ancient unsymmetrical tablets from the crate in Fischig's grasp with my free hand. It clearly has value to you, because it must have value to the Ceruthi. You're recovering it for them in return for what?
I'm not about to tell you anything, Glor said. I'm not even going to confirm your suppositions.
I shrugged.
It was worth trying.
My question remains, said Glor. What now?
We leave, I told him.
Unmolested.
So leave, he said, with a mild dismissive hand gesture. Put down the crate and leave.
This crate is the only thing that's stopping you from obliterating us. It comes with us, as insurance.
No,
Datso cried, pushing forward.
Unacceptable. We would lose it forever.
He looked at Glor.
This man is our blood foe. We could never recover the artifacts. Even if we agreed to safe passage, he would not honor a deal and leave them for our recovery.
Of course not, I said. Just as you would not honor any deal struck with me. It is a sad but true fact that no commitment or agreement of honor can be made between us. Which is why this crate comes with me. We have no other surety.
We're not here to offer you surety, flesh blister,
Mandragore said sonorously.
Only death, or, if you're unlucky, pain and death.
You should keep him out of the negotiations, I told Glor with a sideways nod at Mandragore. We are leaving with the crate, because you will destroy us otherwise.
No, said Glor. He stepped forward, pulling a lasgun from his coat.
You are tripping on your own smooth logic, Inquisitor. If we are to lose those artifacts forever, I'd rather it was here, with your deaths as consolation. If you try to leave with the crate, we will fire anyway and damn the consequences. Set them down, and I will give you 10 heartbeats to leave.
I could tell it was no bluff. They would only go so far to protect their trinkets. And they were not fools. They knew I would never return these items. 10 heartbeats. If we tried to board with the crate, they would fire at once. If we set it down, they would fire, but perhaps more hesitantly for fear of hitting the crate. And the cutter's guns were still a point in our favor.
Back up to the ramp, I whispered to Beckwin and Fischig. Throw the crate down when I say.
Are you sure?
Do as I say. Midas.
Ready drive. Ready cannons.
Now!
The crate crashed over in the dust. The cutter's engines shrieked into power. They didn't wait 10 heartbeats. The three of us were on the ramp, and the ramp was swinging shut under us, and the cutter was lifting around us. A fusillade of weapons fire hammered off the hull. The cutter's cannons roared. The cutter swung hard about, and we tumbled as the deck pitched. Fischig cried out and fell on the ramp, spilling half out of the gently closing entryway. I grabbed him and hauled him inside before his dangling legs could be severed by the vicing ramp or shot by the enemy below. We were away. I could tell by the angle of the deck and the vibration of the ship's frame that Midas was accelerating hard and keeping low, letting the landscape shield us from the ground fire. Alarm lights flashed in the crew bay, indicating damage.
Strap yourself in, I yelled at Amos, who was attempting to rise to assist us. Fischig, get Beckwin in a harness. Yourself too.
The chastener pulled the terrified girl across the deck and into a seat. I clambered forward, along the companionway, and up into the cockpit. Midas was pulling on the controls, taking us higher. The blotchy landscape of Damask flickered past beneath us. I dropped into the seat beside him.
How close? The fighters have peeled back on a direct intercept course. They have altitude in their favor.
How close?
6 minutes to intercept.
Damn!
What?
He pointed to the main tactical screen. Behind the smaller bright cursors, larger shapes were moving against the three-dimensional magnetic map of the planet's magnetosphere.
Their fleet's moving too, the capital ships. And that's two more fighter wings launched. They don't want us to get away, do they?
He added.
With what we know, they won't let us out of the system alive, will they? Midas, I think I've told you the answer to that.
He grinned, white teeth contrasting sharply with his dark skin in the cabin's half-light.
We're going to have some fun, then,
he decided, his bare hands sparking with the inlay of Glavian bio-circuits, darted across the controls, adjusting our course.
Ideas? I asked. A few possibles. Let me massage the data.
What?
Trust me, Gregor. If we've even a shred of hope of getting out of the Damask system alive, it'll be through skill and subtlety. Shut up and let me compute their speeds and intercept vectors.
We took damage from the ground fire, I persisted. That hopelessness was seeping into me again, the feeling of having no ability to influence the situation.
Minor, just minor, he said distractedly. The servitors have got it covered.
He made a course change. From the screen, I saw this brought us around almost side-on to the chasing fleet components, drastically reducing their time to intercept and firing range.
What are you doing? Playing the percentages. Playing safe.
The bright globe of Damask was dropping away beneath us, and we were driving out into planetary space beyond the highest orbit points at full thrust.
See?
He said. Another light had appeared on the tactical screen, moving around ahead of us.
Standard Imperial battle fleet dispersal. There's always a picket ship positioned on the blind side of the subject world. If we'd kept straight on, we'd have flown right into its fire field.
Lights flashed out into the void beyond the cockpit windows. The picket ship, a medium frigate, was firing anyway, running interference, driving us on.
It's launched fighters,
Midas reported in a sing-song voice.
Range in two. Chasers have range in four.
So matter of fact. I looked at the power levels. Every one of the cutter's powerful thrusters was redlining.
Midas! Midas! Sit back. There it is.
What is? The small moon was suddenly filling our front ports as we veered around. It didn't look that small. It looked like we were about to smash into it. I blurted out a curse.
Relax, damn it,
he assured me, then added,
Range in one.
We dived towards the scarred, pocked lime-green rock that filled our vision at full thrust. Nose guns beginning to flash. Six interceptors of the Battlefleet Scarus Elite Fighter School followed us in.